This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Welcome to Books Uncovered, an exciting conversation about books and literary events, brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bella.
Over the next half hour, we'll dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library. Kia ora, welcome to another episode.
Kia ora, everyone.
I always listen to that intro and I think it says quirky book blurbs.
We can do some croaky book blurbs.
Croaky. It's been a while since we've been in the studio because we did a bunch of pre-records a couple of weeks back. So yeah, it's quite exciting to be back.
I know, I feel rusty.
Yeah, same. Almost nervous. Yeah, so this episode's actually getting recorded on a Thursday, but it'll be aired this weekend.
So we're back to a regular scheduled
recordings.
Not that you guys would have noticed.
No one, but maybe our biggest fan.
Our biggest fan, Lizzie. Shout out Lizzie Ross, love you.
Thanks for the feedback, Lizzie. We really appreciate it. So yeah, today we're going to talk about the long list for the Women's Prize in Fiction. Mm-hmm. It's been running, it's this 30th anniversary this year. It used to be called the Orange Prize, I believe.
Yes.
So yeah, there's the long list is out now, and then I think the short list is on the 2nd of April, and I couldn't find out the date actually of when they actually announced the winner, but
I don't know, but coming up.
Yeah, so there's 10 judges, all women. We were just having an interesting conversation about whether they include trans women in their you know, long lists and things like that. Mm. And
because I was interested, because if you've seen the long list, Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie is nominated, who has made some quite inflammatory comments about transgender women in the past. So, yeah, I was just wondering, had they nominated trans women for the prize before? I did look it up. Yes, they have. Tori Peters, who wrote Detransition Baby, was nominated in 2021, and also Akwaeke Amezi, hopefully I'm pronouncing that right, who is non-binary, transgender, was nominated in 2019 for Freshwater, which is a great book.
Oh, awesome.
So yeah.
So that's good.
Bit of controversy this year about that nomination, but we will focus on the other authors who have written some amazing works that have made it onto the...
So some of the authors we've actually spoken about before who are on the long list, there's Miranda July for All Fours, which I think we've talked about on the show.
I think we have.
Well,
I haven't read it yet, but you have.
Great book. She's quite a character. Obviously, she's written a few films. I've had some really good feedback on that book. It's sort of about a woman going through menopause, perimenopause, and she rents a room and goes a bit strange. It's very artistic and funny, and yeah, I recommend it.
Yeah, and I reviewed Ama by Sarai De Silva, who is an New Zealand author. So great for her to be nominated.
Yeah, that's
this year. Amazing.
Really awesome. And such a cool book.
Yeah, oh, I love that book.
Yeah.
So you can go back if you want and listen to a glowing review of it.
Yes.
In the past.
Yeah. And we also have it at Athenaeum Library. I've really enjoyed reading that one. So who have you got today to talk about more in detail?
I'll be talking about two today, but the first one I will talk about is The Safe Keep by Jarl van der Woerden. This book was also shortlisted for the Booker last year. And fun fact, she was the first Dutch author to be longlisted for the Booker ever. So that's a big, and it's also her debut novel, which is pretty amazing. There's a lot of amazing debut novels on the long list for the Women's Prize this year, which is cool. So The Safe Keep is set in the 1960s in a rural part of the Netherlands and revolves around Isabel, who lives alone in a large rambling house. The title to The Safe Keep is the house. Her mother is dead and her brothers Hendrik and Louis are off living their own lives. Always a solitary soul and an outsider, Isabel becomes inextricably linked to the house, and its walls and contents are all tangible links to her mother. And she spends her days obsessively ordering the house, making sure everything is where it belongs. So there's a real sense of like object in this novel. And the house is like its own character, which I always love. I love when they have like Northwoods, which I've talked about on this show before, similar thing that follows the house. So yeah, if you like books where the house is its own character in the novel.
That's really neat. Yeah. I like that as a concept.
Yeah, it's just a fascinating thing to play with in fiction, I always find. So yeah, Isabel, a childhood of leaving and loss has left Isabel cold and withdrawn. But underneath all of that, she really has she's really yearning for something, some sort of connection with anyone. So when her carefree brother, Louis, needs to travel for work and asks to leave Eva, his latest in a long line of girlfriends, in the house with Isabel, she is deeply irritated by this invasion of her space, but then the irritability turns to something else, and Eva's presence brings a whole new side of Isabel to light in more ways than one. It's hard to talk about because there's quite a few twists in this novel, so I won't go too deeply into any of the plot. But yeah, it's kind of a creepy tale. It reminded me a bit of Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier, with undertones, those sort of undertones about being stuck in a house with someone you resent and feel a growing animosity towards.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then it's also about sexual repression and the transformative experience of all that pent-up desire being released. So this is a very sexy book. If you're not into that, I would avoid. There's a lot of sex scenes. Who are they between? I won't say. you will find out when you read it. But it's also about the weight of history and sort of the awful after effects of war. It's set after World War II, and how to reconcile what has been lost and displaced. I really liked the character of Isabel. The author really wrote her unlikable, especially in the beginning of the novel, but I think that really makes as the plot unfolds, it deepens your connection with her, and it made me like her more. I always quite like an unlikable character.
It kind of creates like an empathy, or they feel a bit more realistic and three-dimensional, yeah, don't they?
Like,
when
oh,
they've got flaws. Yeah.
Definitely. I'll also say, if you like Sarah Waters, I really recommend this to you. And if you like The Safe Keep, I recommend Sarah Waters if you haven't read her. Especially Fingersmith. And you can really see Yael van der Woerden is a big fan of Sarah Waters, and I really saw that influence of Fingersmith, especially on this novel. So I'll leave this last line about the novel to sort of as a hook. I'll say, what Call Me By Your Name did for peaches, The Safe Keep does for pears. So I'll leave you with that.
Interesting. Cool. That sounds really curious. She's from the Netherlands, but all these nominated books are published in the UK.
Yeah, so it was written and published in English. So,
but, oh, okay, yeah. Cool. Was it ever written in Dutch? Or
no,
yeah. Straight English.
Or straight English, which is quite interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm going to talk about a book by Rosin O'Donnell. She's an Irish writer, and this is also her debut book. She's a writer of short fiction, usually, some of which have been shortlisted for prizes and or won them. This book's called Nesting, and it was initially a short story, and it had been 5 years since she'd published her last short story book, and so she was wondering whether she was even capable of writing a book anymore, because she is also a solo parent and works full-time. So, yeah, I was listening to an interview about her, how she'd, you know, do that kind of almost like a stereotype of like what people think writers do, which is like set your alarm for 5 a.m. and write in the small hours. She was doing that. Yeah. So pretty interesting. And she also had won a grant she partook in a short writing course as well, which helped her to write this book. Which I find really interesting, you know, because sometimes people think that's the kind of thing that, you know, women do as a solo parent, or their children have grown up and you know, but look, she's longlisted for an award.
There you go.
So yeah, it's Ireland. It's sort of centered in the book as Ireland's housing crisis. It's kind of at the core of the book. She started writing this story during the pandemic when the rhetoric was to stay home and to stay safe. So this kind of became the premise for her character, thinking about this idea of, well, what if your home isn't a safe place to be? So it's centered around one woman's bid to escape a controlling relationship and reclaim her life. From the outside, it seems that, I think it's Kyra Faye has it all, a comfortable home in the Dublin suburbs, two children and a husband who seems attentive and reliable. But behind closed doors, Kyra has become isolated, a shadow of her former self. Her husband, Ryan, monitors her every move and has cut her off from her friends, her work and her family. So she's very much the kept trad wife, traditional wife at home. So the opening scene is they're getting out of the car and they're at the beach. And yeah, there's a lot of tension between the relationship. And I think this book kind of highlights domestic abuse when it's not necessarily like a physical abuse, but an emotional one.
Yeah.
So she decides to, she's constantly thinking, you know, she wants to leave, but like what's wrong with her? Because on the outside, it looks like everything is perfect. And she sort of works up the courage to pick up the kids and leave. And she's done that before, but this time, yeah, it's not without her challenges. One scene that stood out for me is when she's trying to leave the country and she's not allowed to because he's rung up the airport and, has stopped that from happening because her mother and sister live in England. So, yeah, it's a really interesting story that she delves into in what the reviews say in a really wonderful way. Yeah, there's quite a clever use of imagery and metaphors, like the husband at one point rescues three baby birds and only one of them survives and he keeps that on a leash. I think they're like a raven or something. So, yeah, it's also sort of looking at, I mean, there's a fact here of like 4,000 Irish children at the end note informs us that sleep in emergency accommodation every night in Ireland. So it's sort of highlighting these facts. For me personally, I didn't really engage with the book. I felt like it was very considered and in its approach, like the structure of it was really sort of atypical. Like I skimmed, read through it and felt like I got a really good gist of what was going on.
Okay,
I think, yeah, it's an important story to have been told. And as a debut, it's well written. Obviously it's been longlisted for this award. But yeah, it's not the kind of novel I'd naturally go towards because it's very domestic. And she also, because children are involved, I think it's like two kids under five, the voices of those children are in the book. And I think we've talked about this on the show before when authors try and write children, how it can be very difficult.
Yeah, almost jarring. It can take, I always find it often, especially, well, usually if it's not done well, which more often than not, I don't find it done well.
Yeah.
It can really take you out of the narrative a bit.
Because children are so random in a way. And yeah, so the speaking parts of the children in this are just, well, they're very small because the kids are young, but yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting to think, to know if people feels like they worked as characters. I mean, obviously they're there to propel the story along because she can't not have the children with her because that's the whole idea is that she's a woman running away with her children. And yeah, it has its ups and downs in the book. It's, yeah. I'd give it a 5 out of 10.
Middling,
I rated it.
Middling review.
I can't believe I actually gave it a number. Terrible. I think it's because I've been on holiday recently and anywhere you go, like some sort of beach or a waterfall and like people have reviewed it. And it's just so funny reading these reviews.
I love when people review a natural like landscape.
Yeah. It's like I got sand in my shoes. Yeah. 1 out of 5.
Too much sand on this beach.
So yeah, sorry to give it a number. I won't do that again. But yeah.
I think I still want to read it just because I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to try and read all of the nominees. I don't think I will end up doing that, but
I mean,
I thought they all sounded really interesting.
Yeah. So. I think it's like the thing of like, they're all like, because it's the women's prize, does it have to be, does the book have to be pertaining to women's issues, you know?
Mm.
And I think this, it's obviously, you know, talking about real life situations, that's a reality for so many women. You know, that trying to prove you're in an abusive relationship when you don't have scars, the physical scars. But yeah, I just think, you know, there was some women that were left off this long list that I think should have been on there. And you were saying that.
You were saying Elif Shafak.
Yeah.
Which I think was a big shock that that book wasn't on there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a YouTuber I like called Salvage Reads, and he always does like a prediction before of who he thinks will get on the long list, and pretty much none of the ones that he predicted were on there, which was quite shocking. Because I watched the prediction video, I was like, oh yeah, all of these sound like they'll be on the list because they're amazing books.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a real sort of unexpected long list this year, I think, for a lot of people. But a lot of really, like, all the books on it sound great. I won't be reading Chimamanda because I find it hard to separate the art from the artist personally.
Yeah,
Is a shame because I have loved her previous works, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. The other one that's on there is Elizabeth Strout, The Tell Me Everything.
Oh yeah, I've never read an Elizabeth Strout.
I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
I would actually say that people who enjoy Elizabeth Strout would enjoy Nesting, the one that I was just talking about by Rosen O'Donnell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same sort of like very domestic kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I need to give one of them a go just so I can, I don't know, I always like to have an idea.
Yeah.
Most of the big writers, but yeah.
I mean, All Fours, I imagine, by Miranda July must be the most out there one, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Like risque, yeah. And queer as well.
The Safe Keep's pretty queer and risque also.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So it's, yeah, interesting. What was the other one that you were going to talk about?
The other one I've read is Good Girl by Aria Eber. So this was published this year by Hogarth, and this is one I was a bit like tentative to pick it up because it's been very hyped on social media and in book circles, and I've been burnt before many times by that, but I did really enjoy it, so that was a nice surprise. This is her debut novel, and it's set in Berlin. It's sort of autofiction as well, like she was born in Germany and is an Afghan German, like the main character. And before this novel, Aria Eber had published poetry, and she had quite a lot of success with her poetry collection. I think it's called The Damages, maybe. And she graduated from Goldsmiths, like you. Yeah.
Like in the BA or in the MA?
I think the BA, and then she did an MA.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, such a
New York
school.
I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's always interesting when we've talked about this before, when poets do a novel.
Yeah, and you can see that, like, I always find their writing to be quite, you can see it in the way that they write.
Yeah.
Usually in a really good way.
Good metaphors.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a coming-of-age novel about Nela, who's a young Afghan-German woman living in Berlin and existing in the dark underbelly of the club scene there. It's set during the 2010s, so it's in a post-9/11 Islamophobic landscape, and it's about identity and shame and coming-of-age. It's a really good book. Great reviewing them. It's a really good book. You can really feel her lived experience in the way she writes about this. Yeah, like her protagonist, she was born in Germany and her parents were also immigrants from Afghanistan. And the neo-Nazi acts of intimidation and terror that are included in Good Girl. Yeah, they really feel like elements of recent history and not fiction, like you can, you know, stuff that's happening now, especially with the rise of the far right in Germany and sadly everywhere. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I think, yeah, the depiction of Nela, the main character, it does resemble the protagonists you find in like Sad Girl Lit, but unlike these, which are usually always white girls who are mired in generalized existential crises, Neela's confusion is rooted in conflicted feelings about her identity and struggles with everyday racism so pervasive it becomes internalized. So it's like a way more interesting take on the sad girl genre, I found.
I haven't heard this term before, I don't think.
Have you not?
Sad girl. Yeah, do you want to talk about that a little bit?
I guess it would be like, what would I think of? Sally Rooney, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Otisha Moshfegh.
Yeah, I see.
A lot of, just look at the bookshelf, like the book covers, it'll usually have a white woman, with often
creation,
a cartoon, and her, you can't see her face, her head's like, she's usually like leaning weirdly against something. Big trend in book covers, often that's the...
I think that's on the Rosanna Donald book. Is the creation like... That, I mean, I haven't read it, the Rachel Kushner.
So. I haven't read it either, so I'm not sure.
Just has that kind of image, you know, like it looks. Oh, Deborah Levy?
Maybe. I also haven't read Deborah Levy. Oh, okay. I'm thinking of like, what's that other one? More like, I guess, contemporary ones like Margot's Got Money Troubles or Green Dot by Madeline Gray, which are all good books, but... This is a more, it's a deeper, I think, take on that genre.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So the narrative zooms in on Neela's day-to-day, which is pretty much drugs, clubs, and an increasingly abusive relationship with an older, washed-up American writer called Marlo. But I really liked how throughout Abba traces the connections between her Neela's personal dilemmas and her self-destructive brand of double consciousness with the broader political climate in Germany. So it was really fascinating, especially like at the moment you can really see, you feel that everywhere because the rise of the far right is.
And Berlin is different. I mean, is it set in Berlin as well?
Yeah.
Which is just increasingly becoming a place that you don't want to be living in.
I know, it's so sad.
I was actually living in Berlin during 2010.
Yeah. Did you feel that? I guess you know,
I would have been so oblivious to it.
Yeah.
I think, I was just being like one of those many sort of naive New Zealand Australian people that were like, I want to live in Berlin, and like went there for 3 months during winter. Mm. It was really interesting. But I did have an epiphany when I was there one day of like, I have no business being here. I have no connection to the place. Like, I remember my great aunt Barbara being like, why are you living in Germany? Like, we were at war with the Germans. You know, for her, it's not that long ago.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Because I know quite a few people in Berlin at the moment. A lot of them are struggling with it.
Yes,
currently.
Definitely. Yeah. My good friend lives there. Like, he's Italian and lived there for like, I don't know, 15 years or something. Very hard place to be.
Yeah. This is the main character, Neela, is 19. This is just, I'm going to relate this back to you talking about writing children. I also find it really difficult when people are trying to write teenagers and you can really tell it's being written by a 30 or 40 year old person. This I found, I'm also 30, so I'm not saying this from the perspective of a teenager, but I thought the voice was, true to like how you feel when you're 19, or from what I can remember of that. So that was another plus about this book. It felt really genuine.
I wonder if she used her own journals for.
I'd wonder because it does feel like an intensely personal book. Like as I said, autofiction. That's a plus for this book. A realistic teen voice. As I said earlier as well, you can see her writing is really well crafted. You can see that poetry background coming through in it. And I really enjoyed it. I highly recommend.
I want to read this.
Yeah.
I'm very intrigued. We're almost running out of time with this show. I feel like, we were talking about the Women's Prize a few shows back, weren't we?
Were we?
Maybe. Oh, I was talking about it when I interviewed Caitlin because she was saying when she was younger that was how she chose books, was to choose from that from their long list.
Oh, okay.
Which is, you know, and then as her palette developed, yeah, she grew out of that. Because, yeah, I can see how it's kind of restrictive. But, yeah, it will be interesting to see who the winner is or who the shortlist is from this. And the winner gets £30,000.
That's pretty
which
good.
Which is pretty.
I got fingers crossed for Sarai De Silva because I loved Amma. And
so do I. Yeah, I think that would be really well deserved. Yeah.
Like I haven't read anything, but I thought that was an amazing, beautiful book.
And really tightly woven together and really strong characters. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and an important story to be told as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that one's also queer. Quite a few queer ones.
Yeah, there is Yeah. Actually, that was Amma was my friend from the UK was visiting and asking which New Zealand book to buy. And I was like, yeah, this one. So, yeah. Cool. Well, I guess that's us for this week. And we'll be back in a fortnight with something else very, very exciting.
You'll find out then.
Ka kite.
Bye. Books Uncovered. Exciting conversations about books and literary events. Brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
Join us, Holly and Bella, every second Saturday at 12 p.m. as we dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library.
That's Books Uncovered.
Saturdays at 12 on ORFM and online at oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.